It's a Slim Time production.
Oh, we're recording. We back. Welcome back to another episode of the Courtcast. By the voice you can tell is me, the voice of reason.
Voice of reason.
I forgot to announce. This flow is kicking my ass, man. But
it will continue kicking.
This flow is kicking my ass. Sorry for the laugh, guys. This one is kicking my ass. Hopefully, I get over it soon.
You won't.
Hey, please, I need to start. By the voice, you can't tell, but hopefully you'll be able to tell about the course of the episode. That is me, the voice of reason, the voice of truth.
He's not the voice of reason. I put it to you guys that he is not the voice of reason.
The voice you get beside me, or the man you see beside me, is the voice of anger. He's very angry because of a joke that was cracked off air right now. I will not repeat it, but if you guys heard it, you'll be pissed off as well. It's Femi. Thank you for joining us, Femi. How do you feel about today's episode?
Nothing.
Oh, yeah, I forgot to introduce him as the man who always intends to score goals. You just got any goals today?
Yes.
How many goals? I don't believe you.
I scored two.
Well, I don't believe you. I go ask Toby.
Let's go.
The cheerleader you hear in the back. It's T. Welcome back, man.
Appreciate
you guys can probably, hopefully you guys can tell there was no episode last week, and it's because it was my birthday, and I ain't gonna lie, I wasn't.
Man was out and about. He was, you know, enjoying life, and
I wasn't going to come and set up cameras and lights and sit down with Femi for the next 2 hours discussing basketball on my birthday. So that was on me, guys.
The problem was Femi, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. You can put the blame. Always blame the black guy.
BLM.
Yo, okay, no. We're going straight into basketball, man. I can't do this with you guys, people. Let's start with, should we start on a good note or a bad note?
What are you feeling like? You're in a good mood. Let's start with
We've been laughing a lot, so we should start on a positive note. I hear you. So let's start with the Boston Celtics. They had a hiccup along the way, you know. At the recording of the last episode, they were undefeated, but they lost two games in a row. They lost to the Sixers and they lost to the Timberwolves and the Sixers. But ever since then, they've been able to, you know, get their season back on track. Oh, they lost to the Wizards too.
They've lost three games.
Wait 1 second. No, my bad. They're 9-2 on the season. So they lost to the Timberwolves and the Sixers. Ever since then, they've reeled off 5 wins in a row, beat the Raptors twice, beat the Sixers without Jaylen Brown, and someone else missed that game.
Porzingis.
Yeah, without Jaylen Brown and Porzingis. Beat the Knicks and beat the Brooklyn Nets. So, I asked the same question 2 weeks ago. I'm asking the same question now. Are the Brooklyn Nets the best team in the East?
The Boston Celtics.
The Boston Celtics. That's my bad.
I mean, the way it's looking right now, when you look at their competition, it seems they're the most consistent. It seems they're the ones ready for the next phase of the playoffs. It seems they're the deepest team. So it's going to be hard to say they're not the best team. I have my questions and doubts about them. Half court offense for me is still, I'm not really fully convinced. On the break, they're amazing. Well, half court, I'm not really convinced. when they faced competition, the last recording we had, I said they hadn't faced any tough opponents yet. Their schedule was very easy, and they faced two contenders and, you know, lost. So
they did win the Sixers.
I wouldn't think they would lose two games in a row against the Sixers. But
they were shorthanded.
They were, and that's one of my problems. I said Kristaps is not someone that is going to be reliable. You can't count on him to always be there due to injuries. And he has missed, I think, two games already this year. So, I mean, when healthy, they're a formidable team, but I don't know yet. I don't know, really.
Okay. So, did you answer the question? Are they the best team?
I think when it's all said and done, right now they are. When it's all said and done, I think Milwaukee would be the best team at least.
Oh, so right now they are, but down the line, you still got Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Okay. And what about you?
I may have to agree with the last sentiment he made, where the Bucks might end up being the best team, but right now I believe they are unsung heroes. Derek White,
just always,
like, he's been, honestly, I mean, when they lost Marcus Smart, you know, there was the little, you know, part of the Celtics that were like, oh, we lost our
heart and soul,
we lost our glue guy. But trust me, they're not missing anything. Like, Derek White keeps that ball moving. He keeps moving. So, you know, gives
his defense,
you know, and he's going to give you chase down blocks here and there. You know, the game against the Heat, he was just everywhere. Against the Raptors, against the Sixers, even, you could just see his impact. I believe that he was the main reason they won the second game against the Sixers. But right now, for sure, I was watching some of their games back, and I was like, yeah, this team, offense and defense, they are definitely up there. And I mean, it's recipe for being a contender, you know, having a top five offense and a top five defense, you know, it's recipe for, you know, success. So Tatum is I feel like they're playing the most unselfish basketball right now.
For sure.
Aside Denver. But as of right now, they are the best team in the East, for sure.
What you said about having a top five defense is what really, I just need to be sure about that. I think they do have a top five defense, but my thing is they have improved a lot from last season. Mazzulla has improved his ability to coach defense a lot from last season. And that's the thing for me. Like, the Celtics, when they went to the final in 2022, they built their hats. They built their game on the defensive end with Ime Udoka leading the line. They had, you know, Marcus Smart, Defensive Player of the Year, Derek White, Jason Tatum, Jalen Brown, Robert Williams, Old Man Horford. You know, every single person I called in, they bought in and played defense. Now, last year, they were a formidable offense, but they mid defense. And this year, the defense is starting to catch up with the offense. I have no problem with the Celtics' offense. I think it's going to catch up eventually. I think offensively, Porzingis is an upgrade on whatever big they had playing last season. And Drew Holiday is an upgrade on Marcus Smart. So I only expect them to get better offensively when the team plays more, when they gel, when they get more cohesion. And so as the answer to my question, are the Boston Celtics the best team in the East? Yes, they are the best team in the East. Will they be the best team in the East at the end of the season? Yes, they will be the best team in the East at the end of the season. They will be... Sorry about that. They will be representing the East in the NBA Finals this season, not just because of what I've seen over the first 12 games, just because I think, like I said at the start of the season, it's about damn time. Like, Tatum has gotten a several level of maturation in the NBA and in the playoffs. Same with Jalen Brown, even though he looks like a shadow of the player he was in 2022. And I feel like sometimes, you know, no matter how good you are, you might just need to change things up to get to the finish line. You look at the Toronto Raptors. They were you know, they make the playoffs, win 50 games, finish with the one seed, run into LeBron and dudes. But the year they made the change in DeMar, in Kawhi for DeMar, led them to a championship. So I do believe they are the best team in the East right now, and I disagree with you guys. I think they will be the best in the East at the end of the season.
Fair enough, fair enough. It's difficult to argue with right now, but time will tell.
So, yeah, for sure. Next up, we have the Milwaukee Bucks, 8-4. I won't lie to you guys. The Bucks have had some concerning losses this season.
Yeah, yeah.
The one against Orlando stood out to me. The one against the Pacers stood out to me, where Giannis goes for 56 and still lose. What do you guys make of the Bucks so far?
I mean,
their lack of defense.
Go ahead.
Honestly, that's all I have to say about them. Just lackluster defense. They're not where they usually are in terms of the.
Should be noted that Dame didn't play that game against the Pacers, but still.
Yeah,
but Giannis goes for 54. And
they 12. They need. What made them really lethal the last couple of years was that they had a really good defensive backcourt. They had players that could chase the other opposing team's best players on the wings. Now, Dame is not going to chase as much. He's not the defender Jrue Holiday is. They are not moving the ball as they once used to because now once you pass the ball to Dame, the ball stops moving because now Dame has to create, right? So, in one sentence, to solve whatever problems they have, is just fix up the defense.
Okay, before
they're more of a transition team than a half court team.
Before we move on to Tosin, do you think these are teething issues or real issues they will face through the course of the season?
These are definitely real issues. Like if they don't either pair Dame with a bigger guard, like get a McDaniels from Toronto or something.
Toronto.
Yeah, there's a McDaniels. I watched the game the other day. There's a Daniels on the team where he's a really long defender, really long guard. You can pair Dame up like just to on the defensive side to give Dame that extra rest because they're gonna search for that switch. You know, but yeah.
Okay, what about you, Tosin?
My biggest concern would be their defense. Like Femi said, they know who they were. Whether that has to do with age or personnel, I'm not exactly sure, but they're not who they were defensively. And also, offensively, I think in my opinion, I would prefer Dame initiating the offense over Giannis. Giannis initiating the offense, for the most part, is usually mostly for him. And kick out if it's obvious. The games Giannis didn't play, I'll say maybe the last two games or something. Dame scored 37 and 27 with 20 something in the first half. So he looks more comfortable. He looks like the Dame we know, and they win convincingly. The games Giannis goes off, they don't win convincingly if they win at all. So it seems the recipe is for Dame to actually go off for them to be formidable. I also have my questions about the coach. I don't know anything about that coach. So
That's a good point as well. Like that's a very good point. Like some of his ability to coach defense is under question. His rotations are under question. Yeah. His offensive ability is also under question. Like,
I don't see any plays they call. It just seems like, give it to Dame and Giannis and inshallah. And we know how that works. So,
Yeah, that's true. I totally agree with you. And another point I'll make, you guys have made very salient points. But another point I'd like to call out is Chris Middleton. When they made that run where they became NBA champions, Middleton was playing like a damn near superstar in the NBA. You know, he might not have the best of games, but when it comes to clutch time, you give him that ball and he's going to get you a bucket. But right now, I want to say he's playing like a third option. He's kind of, to me, he looks the way Tobias Harris looks on the Sixers sometimes. Like, okay, I know what my role is. I'm not entirely sure how I'm going to fit into this role. I don't know how many times I'm going to be able to touch the basketball. I get what a couple plays called for me over the course of a game. I don't think he's fitting into that third role well, per se. Now, that could be a teething issue. That could be a real issue. That's my biggest thing with the Milwaukee Bucks. Like, it's going to be very easy to come down and say, oh, teething issues, they'll get over it over the course of the season. But the only team I've seen build their defense to become formidable over the course of the season was the 2022 Celtics. When a team has a solid defense, you can tell from the early part of the season that, oh, okay, no matter what happens, you can count on these guys' defenses to keep them in the game. But so far for the Bucks, it's not really. Even Brook Lopez, who was damn near a DPOY last year, he's not playing to the same level. All he does is shoot threes these days. Like you said with the coach, maybe run a couple post plays for Brook Lopez in the post, you know, just random stuff like that. Those are the problems I see the Milwaukee Bucks facing right now. And to be honest with you, to give you an answer, whether they are teething issues or long-term issues, I don't know. Time will tell.
And I also wanted to say one more thing. I think Giannis wasted his money with Olajuwon, because I haven't seen anything to resemble what he has learned.
That was very unhinged.
Nah, I don't think you can blame Hakeem, man. Yeah, but Giannis, for the most part, all you see is him attacking the rim. Like, you don't see him, you know, establishing. You know the way Joel Gould establishes himself in the post and they try to deny him getting the ball. I don't see Giannis doing that a lot of times in the game. And
because now you're surrounded with so many shooters, you can play inside out.
And times I do see him travel, even though he doesn't get called, it is a travel.
Yeah.
So, they in my opinion, they have a lot of stuff to work on for them to be the team we all thought they were going to be coming into this season. But that's why the NBA regular season is 82 games. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Maybe the in-season tournament makes things a little bit more competitive right now. But you still have 82 games to figure things out before you get to the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And it looks like they're going to need every single one of those 82 games to be the team that we thought they were going to be.
Yeah.
Speaking of teams who are not what we thought they were going to be, the Philadelphia 76ers. They lost to the Celtics and somebody else.
Indiana Pacers.
The Indiana Pacers, yes. You know, Joel is still doing his thing, playing ball. Tyrese Maxey is Tyrese Maxey. Even though, like, he's not necessarily on the hot streak he was on to start the season, he's still playing high-level basketball. The name of the last episode was Addition by Subtraction for a reason, and the Sixers look to be doing well with Addition by Subtraction. So it's only right I give the floor to Tosin. What have you made of the Sixers so far, and what do you think? Do you consider them real title contenders?
This is the way I look at it, right? When a man, right, has cancer, right? If a man has cancer, right, he might not be able to run 50 kilometers. You get what I'm saying? You get rid of the cancer by the grace of God, the miracle we bless God for, what he does in our lives. And you don't even need to go to the gym. You just see that this man can actually run. So I feel like that was the surgical operation that happened with Philadelphia 76ers. They got rid of cancer, and they're able to just, without even going to the gym, they're just able to run. So, Tyrese.
Did you really need to give us the whole preamble with cancer?
Tyrese is...
Are you still trying to catch him?
We can cut that part out.
Honestly,
hell no.
James Harden is gonna sue you, man. I'm so sure about this.
At some point,
you can't get anything out of me.
You're gonna get a call from his lawyer.
You can't get anything out of me.
He's gonna contact your lawyer.
Tyrese is growing in front of my eyes, and he's beautiful. He's learning. He's making the mistakes. He's growing from them, which is amazing.
He's watching me, right?
Oh Lord!
No, my days, man.
I wanted to
He's growing right in front of his eyes.
Oh, I thought he said glowing.
Oh, okay. I don't know what's on your mind right now, but sure.
Yeah, yeah, you need to relax.
Tobias Harris is able to be confident and assert himself as the third option, mm-hmm. Rather than being the fourth option, and that confidence is key for him. I've always thought
To cut you short, but like watching the Sixers now, I see Tobias Harris more of a 2B option than a third mm-hmm. option, if that makes any sense. Like,
right, and you when you have a coach that recognizes the talent, he's able to call some plays for Tobias. Okay, it's your turn. And I feel like Tobias with the second group is also really good because Tobias is a bucket. He just doesn't have that Mamba mentality. And with the right buttons being pushed, he can definitely get there. So I really like their squad. A big shout out to Kelly Oubre. They're missing him right now. I hope he rests up and is back soon. But
that team shooting over 50% from three, something ridiculous like that.
That team is solid, and big shout out to Nick Nurse. Nick Nurse is a good coach. So I'm definitely impressed with 76ers. I definitely think they would slow down because they're getting results better than what they should be getting. But
So this you saying they're overachieving, I get the sense you don't think they're actual title contenders.
Oh no, I don't. I don't. They're still way off from the two top guys.
Oh, so sorry, guys. I have a really bad flu. Fim, what about you?
Embiid.
I Embiid.
Are you giving a speech? Embiid.
It's not even, no, like, I was going to say something about the Sixers, then I remembered what my major point was. Embiid. They're only going to go as far as Embiid takes them. And let me tell you, he's not playing up to par.
Really?
What?
Offensively, he might be deceiving you guys.
I don't think so, man.
But if you... I know what I... Sometimes, there are moments... Like, for example, the reason why I'm talking like this is, like, against the Celtics. There are moments where it's either he's not communicating on defense to where, oh, there's an open man on the corner. And because he's not as quick or as mobile, he's not calling that switch. And then you see him sometimes. There were some plays against the Celtics where he just let the guy just fly by him. He didn't help on defense.
Oh, I agree with you. Defensively, he's overrated.
He's not. Honestly, he's not. Like, the MP that I know, like, he was there was a reason why I was picking him over Jokic. He was more of a two-way player than Jokic was or could ever dream of. But for some reason, Jokic is looking... Because the reason why I'm focusing more on Embiid is on... If you compare him to his quote-unquote rival in Jokic, you would see that offensively, whenever the Nuggets are down the floor, Jokic has at least one touch of the ball. And if on defense, Jokic is the anchor, and Embiid is not giving that,
mm-hmm.
in my humble opinion. And if the team is going to go as far as he's going to take them, then he has to look himself in the mirror. That's just I'm not saying he hasn't played well this season. He has played. He's damn near just, I feel like he's just going through the motion. Like, he knows the league. So he's going through the motions. He's going to put up points. He can roll out of bed and put up those points. But if you want to take that extra step, and I feel like maybe the reason why he's not taking that extra step is because of the team around him. It doesn't feel like he can win with this team, but that's just me. But
I definitely agree with you defensively, especially pick and roll. He always sags off, and maybe
you can see, and it's plays like that gives the other team the momentum they are looking for.
Right.
So that's just, I don't think they're contenders.
Well, I think you guys are being unnecessarily unfair. This season, Joel Embiid is averaging damn near 32 points from the field, shooting almost 50% from the field.
Let me ask you this.
Shooting just, his 3-point percentage is not great right now, and his free throw percentage
let me
is
ask
not
you
great
this.
Right now.
Let me ask you this.
Wait, let me go on. But he's damn near 32%. He's alongside Tyrese Maxey elevated this team to levels that nobody saw them getting to at the start of the season so far, because they're 9-3 right now. Started off the season 8-1, even though they lost two of their last three games. They're currently 9-3, 6 games above .500. Second place in the East. Defeated the Boston Celtics. Put up a good fight against the Milwaukee Bucks, even though they were shorthanded. Like, defensive breakdowns happen all the damn time. That's why you watch film. That's why you get better. That's why you have a coach like Nick Nurse, who's going to hold you accountable over the course of an 82-game season. Say, Joel, you can't let that happen. Joel, you got to call out that switch. Joel, if you're sagging off on the pick and roll, you have to be able to communicate to defender, this and that, stuff like that. So I think you guys are being a little too harsh on Embiid right now. Like, I don't think he's, in quotes, overrated defensively, because if that's the case, every damn big in the league except Bam Adebayo is overrated defensively.
Most bigs, they can actually defend on the perimeter a little bit better than most bigs are versatile.
Name me three bigs who can defend the perimeter very well.
AD. Bam.
I don't think...
Jared Jackson.
Nick Claxton.
He's forward. He's not 7 feet.
Nick Claxton
and Bam are the only two ones I'll stand for.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
My question is, when it comes to, and I don't like LeBron, but like when it comes to LeBron, they always say he rolls out of bed to put up those numbers, right? Mm-hmm. And if the team goes as far as he's carrying them, it's the little things that I feel like he's got to take control of charge of.
For me,
I'm not saying that he's not played well. I'm not diminishing him in any way. There's something I expect better. If he's going to go far, I expect there's just a little aspect of the game that I expect from him. That's just me.
You're talking about the little things. For me, the little things he has done so far is elevate his level of leadership in this team. Just before and after the Harden trade, the us against the world mentality that he created with his teammates is one of the reasons why they're flying as high as they did right now. Like, okay, Harden doesn't believe in us. It doesn't matter. We've never been a one-man team. We're a team. We're a unit. We run this thing together. We win together. We lose together. What more do you want from your star player?
Let me tell you the disconnect between both of you. Femi is wanting them to win the championship, and he thinks that's the thing missing from their game to be able to actually contend to win the championship. You're fine with their level of success right now. That's the disconnect between both of you. Because I agree with Femi. If they want to win the championship, they have to take a step forward with Embiid being able to, especially with the great guards, you would have to be able to cover that space, especially pick and roll.
I hear that. Like, I agree with you. And the reality is that for how well every single player in the regular season is performing, when you get to the playoffs, you have to be twice as good in the playoffs. So I hear you in that aspect. But as of right now, I do think Joel has played well enough to put the Sixers up there in the contenders discussion. Now, whether or not they're on the same level as the Celtics or the Bucks, no, they're not. Only one team can come out of the East. And are you telling me right now they don't stand a chance in the 7-game series against either of those two? I don't think so. I think they do stand a chance.
But here's the thing. The reason why Denver are champions, the reason why the Bucks became eventual champions, was that during the regular season, they were building good habits. The Denver Nuggets did not immediately win. They were bounced out how many before the conference finals, how many times, right? But they stayed building those habits. They stayed asking Jokic to, if he has to make that extra call for that guy to make the switch in the corner and block that or contest that three, you have to do it. And it wasn't until he did that his game elevated and he became a champion. Now he's a reigning champion.
That's fair.
And he's being compared to Embiid.
That's fair. But the point I'm trying to make is, if you're saying this 45 games into the season, I agree with that. But 12 games into the season under a new coach, things are going to come along with it.
That's his career, though.
Huh? No. Femi literally just said Joel has been more of a leader in the defensive aspect.
He has been more of the anchor. He helps. See, I will never diminish Embiid. You get me? You know? So like,
don't you said you spent 10 minutes diminishing Embiid?
I don't think I'm diminishing him. I just believe
I know. You expect standards, and you expect him to.
Yeah, they expect that level from that level of help. The reason why the Bucks were the way they were in 2021 was
Giannis was the best defender
that anchor in defense. He was always helping out. Whenever there was an extra man to make that contest, whenever there's an open, wide open man, he would run down that man. I'm not even saying Jokic does the same thing, but Jokic does not miscommunicate, doesn't hold down that communication on defense. You see him make that call. You see him, if he has to make that effort to make that run, he will make that effort. And let me tell you, the moment the other teammates start to see that little effort that Embiid puts, there is no reason why they won't follow the leader.
Yeah, okay.
They need to build those habits.
The problem
early.
I had with your initial statement was when you said Embiid was not playing up to par. Like, he's deceiving us offensively, stuff like that. Like, he's not playing playoff basketball right now. But I think over the course of the season, with the great coach that he has and the great coaching staff that they have, they will let him know, like, Joel, you are the lead. Do you remember when the Raptors were playing against... The Raptors had Kawhi Leonard in the championship run, and Phil Handy says Kawhi stands up in showroom and says the adjustment is I'm guarding Giannis, when they were thinking about what switches to make for game 3. I think over the course of the season, that's what they're going to build with Joel Embiid. But 11 games into the season, he's done well, and I don't think you can drag him for that. That's the point I'm trying to make. Like I said, if it was 45 games into the season and Joel is still lackluster on being the defensive anchor, I hear you.
But here's the thing. So are you going to now, prevention is better than cure, Sha. Are you going to now wait to 45 games into the season to now tell him to start making those changes?
I do think they've already picked up on some of those stuff. And
fair enough. I mean, they're all making millions, including the staff on in film. If they don't see it and I'm the one seeing it, then they should be fired.
Seriously.
That's what I'm just saying.
Like seriously, they should be fired.
That's all I'm saying.
They should be fired. Lastly, I'll talk about two more teams in the East. The Miami Heat. I think they've won 7 games in
a row. I think you're not going to talk about them.
Oh, come on, bro. They've won 7 games in a row. Jimmy is playing some elite-level basketball. Even the guy said he's a 50% shooter from 3. Like, bro, can you stop trolling, man? Like, I appreciate you, but please stop trolling.
He said his teammates tell him he's a 50% shooter.
But what have you guys made of the Hawks so far? And again, they did beat the Lakers, though. Again, I would ask, do you guys expect another miraculous season of them ending up in the NBA Finals?
I will not be shocked if the Miami Heat make it to the NBA Finals.
Wait, are we talking Hawks or Miami?
Miami.
You mentioned Hawks.
I said Miami Heat.
You actually mentioned Hawks. You at some point during your... statement, you mentioned Hawks, Loki. But that's fine. I'm just saying.
We're going to rewind this.
Sure. And you hear yourself say Atlanta Hawks, but it's fine. I still believe, I'm not going to be surprised. I am absolutely not going to be surprised when they are still the remaining Eastern Conference champions. Because one, they have always been problems for the two other teams in the East. Meaning... the Celtics and Bucks. And low-key, I will not... they have each other's number.
So you won't be so...
I
will
not be surprised.
You don't think they lost too much in Drews and Gabe Vincent?
Nope. What's his face? Caleb Martin is still injured, and they're still playing the way they're playing. They missed Tyler Hero for a few games, and they're still playing the way they're playing. Bam has made a step. He's averaging 22 and 10 with a couple blocks.
I need 24 from Bam.
To be honest, with the way the Heat culture is, whatever he's actually giving right now is what he's supposed to be giving. I'm not surprised that he's giving us these certain numbers and the team is still winning. You know, and they still have a very good enough bench to compete with the other teams. They still have Lowry coming off the bench. They still have Thomas Bryant off the bench to cover Bam. And those are solid.
That's better than Cody Zeller.
You know, and they made the finals with Cody Zeller as a backup. So I will not be surprised.
That's also the reason they lost the finals.
But I'm still saying I will not be surprised if they do make it to the finals. finals, and they still have Jimmy. So,
okay, just what about you?
I definitely agree with every single thing he said. Miami, I always look at them as that team that just surprises you. They're trash fundamentally, but they just surprise you. It's just the culture. The coach is amazing. They play defense better than any team that's number one right now. I don't know if they're still as good as Miami when everything comes down to it. Miami is too good defensively. They are very personal. They have the one center that can guard every position. He's a strong center, bulky center that can give you problems. You saw the dunk he had on Claxton. It was nasty. Can you share with the class what's funny?
The man ducked his cap for you when you said Bam is a bulky center.
I didn't even peep that. Okay. Like I was saying, so when it comes to matchups, like Femi said, they give serious problems to the two contenders from the East, Milwaukee and Boston. So I wouldn't be surprised if I see them. Now, if they face like Atlanta Hawks before they face Boston and or Milwaukee, I see them being bounced out by teams that you might not think about, like New York Knicks or Atlanta. But as long as they face those two figureheads, they have a chance.
Okay, let's talk about the Indiana Pacers. Femi's Indiana Pacers.
Y'all thought I was tripping. But it's okay.
You said it last year. I was just giving you a break.
But y'all thought I was tripping still.
I saw it. Tyrese Halliburton is an all-star. What do you guys make of... I watched the game against the Charlotte Hornets. The ending was very pathetic.
But the build-up was crazy.
And that's exactly why this team is not a title contender in my eyes. Not everybody has to be a title contender, obviously. They are going to make the playoffs. But obviously, the ultimate goal is to win the chip. And I think they're a hard, maybe first or second round out. But it's just there's a lot of youth in this team. And the people you expect to be leaders in the likes of Miles Turner, you know, make some boneheaded decisions during the game. Like, no, I'm not saying Miles Turner is a bad NBA player by any means, but I think you need an AD to go with Tyrese Halliburton to get to the level.
Hilarious.
No, I mean like the first year Lakers AD. You need an AD. That's the AD I'm referring to. AD to go with Tyrese Halliburton to get them to that level. But so far, they have done a great job in building their roster. I think three of us love the Tyrese Halliburton trade for them. Sorry about that. Love the Tyrese Halliburton trade for them. They've drafted well. What's the name of the kid they drafted last year? Benedict Mathurin. The guy who hit the game winner against the Lakers last season.
Nembrad.
Yeah, he's pretty good as well. So what do you guys think of the Indiana Pacers?
I think the Pacers, they're like Tottenham. They will come.
That's a pretty good comparison.
They will come and show you glimpses of, oh, if we actually continue this way, we can definitely be in the talks for best team. But they are just no good. Now, there's a reason why I don't think they can make that step. It's because they're top two offensively in the league right now, and they are bottom two defensively. That's giving me prime Brooklyn Nets with KD and all them boys. And you don't have KD, so you have no shot.
All they need is Steve Nash to replace Ricardo.
Shout out to Tyrese. Tyrese is playing phenomenal. Definitely an all-star.
That man had 28 assists in two games and no turnovers. I mean, 32 assists in two games and no turnovers.
Like, he's amazing. He's elevating every single teammate. So they're definitely a team that could shock your best team on any given regular season night. But do I have them going far in the playoffs? Absolutely not. They can't beat anybody in 7 games. In fact, their first round exit.
You didn't even add tough first round exit.
No, tough. My fault. They're tough first round exit.
Do you remember the episode where we did the Cavzalanche?
Cavalanche.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That the same way we talked about the Cavs then is the same way the Indiana Pacers are right now. Then I mean,
this is before the Donovan Mitchell trade.
Yeah, this is like, you know, this is when they were still building and stuff like that. So it's the same. They're giving the same energy. They're giving a Division One, Division Two team trying to play with the Division Ones. You get, you know, right. So they're playing like Luton Town. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Luton,
like,
Luton is whack.
No. Listen. No, like they made it out of the championship now. So then the big
better examples now.
Then no.
Oh,
then,
I have an example for you. You know that Barcelona team that lost 8-2 to Bayern Munich.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's something like
Please
that.
Please don't talk about Barcelona like that again in the future. Just for the future.
Okay.
But my thing is still like, I mean, they have a really good point guard. They have a solid wing in Mathurin. I think given a couple years, he might take that step that they're looking for. I'm not saying he's not a good player. He is.
What step are they looking for?
Benedict Mathurin?
Yeah. He said, what step are they looking for?
Like, you don't think he's going to improve?
It's going to improve, but you're saying take that shit.
That's what I'm saying. Now.
Oh, it's going to improve. Okay, I thought you were saying like to contend or something.
No.
And they, don't forget, guys, they have the greatest basketball player of all time.
Bruce.
I thought. Oh, Bruce Brown.
I think they've been having one of the top five players in the league for the past like. You know, since he got drafted, you know.
Tyrese.
Wait.
Miles Turner.
How is Miles Turner top five?
Miles top five talent now. He's a really big beat.
All right, man. We gotta end that here.
When you're talking about talent, you're talking about building Legos, right?
Hey, Tosin, I swear to God, make mistake and this podcast reaches NBA players. You're getting dragged.
Absolutely.
Straight up. You're getting dragged.
He can shoot threes. He's a really good big.
Yo, please. You shut up. That's why you're playing about Josh Okogie. Please leave my friend.
I just hope you're not playing this season. It's Josh Okogie not playing this season. What I guess? What I guess?
No way.
Josh Okogie is playing well this season now. He's shooting threes properly.
Okay. Before we leave the East, just a quick touch up on the Orlando Magic. They're playing pretty well, guys. They're like 2 games above 500 right now, if memory serves me correctly.
And I'll use the same principle that you used with NBA. He's just 11 games into the regular season. Time with them.
That's why I wanted to touch upon it quickly.
I mean, we have already touched it up, didn't we?
I mean, I have them going to the playoffs. I had them in my top.
What are you talking about?
Do you remember my top 8? I had them in my top
8. What?
They're definitely going to the playoffs.
He did have them in his top. So you have them over the Atlanta Hawks, over the Cleveland Cavaliers, over the.
Wait. I need to have them over those boys. I just have them going to the playoffs.
Okay.
Well, why did you put them over those boys?
I mean, there's a playing tournament, so anything is possible.
By the way, I just wanted to say, Femi had a list. Looking back on it now, the list is pretty awful.
No future team.
Yeah, and I want to say the Toronto Raptors do have a future. And the future is one man. That one man alone. Scottie Barnes.
Scottie
playing
Barnes,
like an all-star this year.
Scottie Barnes.
I love what I'm seeing from Scottie.
So, their future is as bright as Nigeria with light.
No, let him. No, let him. Let him. Let him.
Why this?
Do you know who he reminds me of? Do you know who he reminds me of? Tosi, you remember the Kanu Wako picnic advert? I believe in you.
Nobody ever thought I could make it. I never thought I could make it. Something like that.
Scotty, I believe in you.
the rappers just like believing in Scoot Anderson.
Damn, that's too early. Scoot can still be that guy.
He cool.
Yeah, the Raptors just need to trade OG and Pascal and Gary Trent and Dennis Schroeder. Just trade like everybody and rebuild with Scotty. Yeah, and rebuild with Scotty Barnes.
What about trading your general manager?
Oh yeah, I would love to trade him too.
To be honest, I was watching the Raptors Celtics game and I was just like, Masai.
Masai is very wicked.
Like,
he's a wicked person. Giving coaches 6-8 people that cannot shoot and expecting the best. You know what? Let's not even.
Pascal has also woken up, bro. Let's give a shout out to Pascal.
Nah, Pascal has been very yin-yon this season. He's looking like someone with a heart attack, man. Like, you know how the heartbeat goes up and down, like.
Sure.
I was gonna say, like,
shout out to the guys with heart attacks.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go to the West. we're going to deviate from the teams we normally talk about in the West. You know, the Nuggets, the Mavericks, the Lakers. Obviously, there's one.
Why are we deviating from the Mavericks? We've never talked about them.
There's one foolish team in the West that we are going to have to talk about. But let's start off with the Minnesota Timberwolves.
I knew you read my mind.
Now, before the season started,
I said they didn't have future, and I still believe they don't have future.
Once again, you guys would have to apologize to me.
The Timberwolves are nice, man. You guys know I love Anthony Edwards. I love Anthony Edwards. But let's just talk about a certain...
Guys, just so you know, this man choked himself on set.
Now, why the hell would Draymond Green do that?
That's the one, dude. He choked himself on set.
He choked himself on set, bro.
Why would Draymond do that, man?
Wait, see,
you choked yourself on set, bro.
Oh, Skip has done it before. Move on.
if we won't talk about Draymond, we'll not talk about Golden State, because I have several things to say to Mr. Draymond.
Okay, let's just... Okay, we'll segue into back to the Minnesota Timberwolves, but let's go to Golden State. Why did he do that, man?
I think Rudy Gobert said it best. Every time Steph does not play, Draymond does not want to be there. And it's evident every single time. First of all, the guy is trash. And when you see someone that is trash, they try to make noise to distract you from their talent. The guy's incredibly trash. And he has a trash buddy in Klay Thompson. They stink up the joint the entire time. That's why some of the what's the name of the Wolves player that got ejected? My favorite guy on Wolves.
Jalen McDaniels.
McDaniels. That's why he wanted to get out there. The player was stinking. He had to go like clean up his nose.
Have you ever seen that picture on Twitter of those two girls where they're like, we irritated?
Yeah. Guys, we're going to stop this recording.
That's clear on Draymond, man.
Yeah, for real. So, Draymond needs to get his head in the game and just produce regular trash. We don't need distractions with the trash. So that's my take on Draymond.
That's the police coming for you in the background.
I feel like the moment he saw his side chick, because obviously his main, he has two sides, isn't it? His main is the king. His side is Curry and Clay. Yeah. So. I mean, one of them was in trouble. And I feel like the thing that rang in his head was...
You see the meme of the cloudy...
Where he's running towards the...
Bro, honestly, I thought about it and I'm like, there's no reason why Draymond did that to poor Rudy, man.
And One thing we should not escape. The funny thing is, it's a side chick that started the whole fight and expected the man to come and fight for.
Then my Bev goes to Twitter and calls out Kat. And he's like, how do you see them putting your teammates in headlock?
Are you retaliating?
Somebody now posted a video of Ben Simmons putting him in the headlock. Okay, just before we... Do you guys think Draymond deserves a 5-game suspension?
10.
First off, I would like to talk to Mr. Stephen A. Smith. Please, Stephen A. Smith, when you're talking about Draymond, wipe your mouth. For real.
Yeah, wipe there's a lot of glaze. Mouth. There's a left on left.
Oh my goodness. This guy does that for a full-time job. How can you defend Draymond and say this guy only deserves like 2-game suspension?
He said three games max.
Yeah, he said 10 was too much, 5 was borderline too much. I think he deserved 10. 5 is not enough.
I think five is perfect.
I feel like five, and drag them.
Yeah, but he also got fined $732,000.
Okay, that's nothing to you.
Thank you.
Okay, $732,000 is a lot to NBA player. You see LeBron huffing and puffing on the season tournament court for $500,000.
LeBron is a cheapskate. You can't talk about you can't use LeBron as a backup.
How can you call a billionaire a cheapskate?
LeBron is from the trenches now.
LeBron is from the trenches now for his Spotify premium, the $500,000. What are you talking about? Yeah.
$732,000 is a lot, and compared to how much others got fined, I don't think any other person got up to 300K.
Yeah, everybody else got 25K.
But focusing on the money would like diminish, or it would make
the act.
Yeah, no, we are just meant to look at the act and the type of punishment, not about the money. Like, forget about the money. This guy should be suspended for a while.
The fine is part of the punishment.
I guess, but still, I don't want that guy in the court for real.
No.
Did you hear what Nikrai said? Nikrai said he is actually really suspended for 4 games because Steph was not going to play one out of those games, so he wouldn't have wanted to be there anyway.
He is the funniest person on TV right now. For real. It's 769,917, and every other person got 25,000. If they gave him 100K, then 10 games is acceptable. But 769,000, five games makes sense.
He brought it upon himself.
No, I don't think that was fine. I think that's the money you're losing from not playing those games, the 10 games.
Yes, I feel because I don't think they can find some.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I feel like. Coupled with the fact that it's the in-season tournament, like it's a new thing. Like you don't like those kind of things; they carry weight, you know. And if he's not hurting the people physically, he's hurting them with his play, shooting all those bricks and hurting the innocent bystander that's just standing there.
No,
and hitting. You never know. He's just throwing bricks everywhere.
So I guess we all agree with the NBA. You guys don't agree with the NBA and you think 10 games minimum.
I feel like the reason why they gave him 5
for the safety of the fans.
Yeah, they just wanted to.
I think the reason he got 5 was the amount of money he was going
to
lose.
I feel like it's because they wanted to save. NBA says it's
also
the fans.
Because he didn't throw a fist. If he had punched him, he would have definitely got at least 10 games. But because he didn't
throw it.
So wait. Let's actually think about it. Which one is worse? Which one is worse? Throwing a fist or choking someone out?
How many games did Ben Simmons get for this thing? For putting Kat in headlock?
I mean, also remember that they considered Draymond's past, his track record. So that also added to it.
And his track record speaks louder.
You've seen his highlights. You've seen his highlights, right?
Do you know the one that scared me the most?
His career highlights will not be basketball play.
Out of that highlights, you know what scared me the most?
What?
The Kawhi play where Kawhi was in the mask, right? The 21 season.
Yeah.
Where Kawhi is in the air and this man grabbed him by the hand and pulled this guy from the air.
You remember the one on James Harden?
Which one?
Well, after Harden dunked on him.
And then he pushed him?
Yeah.
Yeah, but like I'm saying, Kawhi is mid here and he's
and also team. Stomping on Sabonis's chest. Like there's something wrong with the guy, honestly speaking.
And then Steven Adams, you know, using
Steven Adams is superiorly stronger than I would have put him in a serious headlock.
Steven Adams is too nice. You know, because Steven Adams is bigger than him, I would have just done this.
Yeah. Give me dirty knock
on his head.
And you can tell Draymond practices that move as well.
Facts. How many times he has poked people in the eyes?
Back to the Minnesota Timberwolves. What do you guys make of their season? I mean, the West is not... The teams were expected to be high up in the West don't look as high up as we thought they would be. So...
I still think early in the season... is like we would say as Nigerians, the initial gra-gra that we're seeing from the Timberwolves.
In their last 10 games.
They could be, and they should be, if you consider the competition they faced.
They beat the Celtics.
I know they beat Denver. They beat some good teams for sure. Yeah,
and they have a damn near generational talent in Anthony
Edwards. Yeah, Femi, you were the one who said 5 minutes ago, build good habits, right?
Exactly. Yes, but I'm not saying they're not building good habits. But here's the thing. If they want to have a future, trade everybody else except Anthony Edwards and JD McDaniels.
Well, I would trade Kat, not Rudy.
Why would you trade Rudy? Are you...
Because you're not going to get anything back for him.
Yeah, I agree with that trade.
Fair enough. But like for the last game against the Suns, Cat literally carried them, and obviously they got blown out.
Yeah.
But the reason why they did not get their back blown out as well was because Cat was carrying them.
Yeah, I would trade Cat because like the ceiling of this team has been seen with.
I said it.
Okay, but we get it.
We've seen their ceiling with both Cat and Anthony Edwards. We've seen their ceiling with just Cat. I think at this point, he should not really be viewed as this indispensable piece in.
He's definitely dispensable.
In Minnesota, yeah, like you can. Who's looking for a big? Let me see. Maybe the Clippers.
Nope.
The Clippers should be all over. Nah. The match should be all over Kat as well. You know what I'm saying? So.
Okay.
I think OKC can do better than.
God. And because Kat can actually space the floor for those guys, I
that's a good shout.
You know what I'm saying? Like the kind of offense they run.
Even the New York Knicks, they can go get Kat. So I would even say
Cavs as well.
You can get good assets for Karl Anthony Towns that you can fit around Anthony Edwards and.
I mean, so I still believe they don't have future. I mean, with Anthony Edwards, obviously, that is their quote-unquote future. But who's to say that down the line, if they don't make the right moves, that Ant stays on that team?
I think Ant is there for another 5 years at least.
We all thought that about Damian Lillard. At some point, if there is no moves being made, that man's going to ask for a trade. And that's what scares me. And out of all the moves they could pull, they went for Rudy Gobert.
Yeah, that set them back.
You know, that sent them back a bit. They could have made many other.
Let me quickly say my thoughts about. I think they're a team that can get to the finals. They have that potential. They could beat anybody in the West. They are the number one defensive team in the league.
Because Ant is a two-way player. I love that.
Ant is a two-way player. McDaniels,
don't sleep on
McDaniels. McDaniels is the best defensive player in the league, in my opinion.
Best perimeter defender for sure.
Yeah, for 1,000%.
Shout out to Asar Thompson.
Shout out. He's definitely on the come up. They have the twin tower that if you get past that perimeter defense, you're going to do it in the paint. You're facing problems. Rudy Gobert is the best rim protector in the league.
For sure.
So I definitely think defensively they're a problem for it. You'd have to be on your game shooting the ball to beat them. And that's going to be tough every single game. And offensively, they're growing. They are picking it up. Like Ant's confidence from the the USA basketball, you can tell his confidence is high.
Bro, from the day he was drafted, man.
Right.
I said he was A1 from day one.
And we can say they're young and they can make mistakes, but they have a point guard in Mike Conley that will steady the ship. So, like, they're really good and level-headed. Now, obviously, they're not going to win the most games because, obviously, I think they'll deal with some injuries. They're a little bit still inconsistent. But when it comes to that top eight, they're definitely going to the playoffs, and they could give anyone problems.
My only problem with what Denver you said is they can make the finals. Because
they could. No, I'm not saying they will, but they could. Like, they could beat anybody in the West.
All I'm saying is when you say that, you got to factor in the Denver Nuggets. Whenever you
I'm saying they could beat Denver Nuggets. That's what I'm saying. They could.
All right.
Here's the thing. If they could trade coaches, I would have asked them to trade for Ime Udoka. Straight up.
That's a perfect segue into the Nuggets.
Mm-hmm. If they could trade coaches, if they had an Ime or a Nick Nurse, oh, God.
That's a perfect segue into the Houston Rockets. Another team that Femi said has no future. Even though they have Fred VanVleet out here shooting 300 million bricks a game. You know, they're doing good. They've won a couple of their last... They lost the last game to the Clippers. But they've won six games. They won five of their last six games, I believe. You know, I can't even point... Maybe Alfred is playing well. Alfie is playing well. Jalen Green is playing well. He looks like he's finally being coached. What do you guys make of the Rockets so far? And Ime Udoka.
For me, the biggest impact on Ime Udoka is defense. They're top 10 defensive.
I agree.
That is incredible to think a young team that was like dead last year could be that good defensively. And we know that the difference is definitely not Fred VanVleet, because all he does is sell bricks like a drug dealer. But what I'm saying is...
Get on yourself, man.
Better yourself.
Man, you should be arrested. You. They should come for you.
Why did you say better yourself? That was unnecessary.
Yeah, it's so unnecessary. Unhinged.
But yeah, they don't look like they're making boneheaded mistakes anymore. They have a system now, you can tell. They have, in my opinion, I can finally say the best coach in the league. Any coach that can go from Boston, do what he did there, to Houston Rockets with that talent and make them who they are, he's the best coach in the league. So having the best coach in the league.
That's funny.
Do you think he can change San Antonio?
Yeah.
Yo, they don't sleep on the Rockets. They beat the Nuggets. Jokic went for 36, 21, and 11.
That's
and
what I'm saying. Like, Şengün is... I love Femi. Femi has said it before. Baby Jokic or something like that. He does the same things. So, that team is a team to...
Every time down the floor, he touches the ball. Like, every time down the floor, he's the one that sits
and don't sleep on him. Dylan Brooks is playing well, man.
Oh, Dylan Brooks is always Dylan Brooks. All that stuff was just propaganda. Like, all that, they swept the team. Dylan Brooks was not the problem.
Yeah.
Dylan Brooks is solid.
Sure. I agree with you. Like, he talks too much, but he's a solid basketball player. So, I like
him. And in my opinion, he backs it up.
To an extent.
like when Steph scored that three on him this year, that was Steph's first mid basket on that guy in that game. Steph was breaking against him the entire game, but everybody would hold on to the highlight. That guy is solid.
Yeah, I like what he does right there. But I think we don't want to put too much pressure on the Rockets. What we're going to say is the watch for the Rockets is real.
Yeah, it is. He does need one superstar, and that's it.
Their saving grace is really Ime Udoka. That's just me.
That's just said it though, man. Like, there's a serious argument for him being the best coach in the NBA. Serious argument. Let's talk about the Dallas Mavericks next, you know, coming into the season, doesn't they have really high? So we all know Temi is not going to speak in this segment. So yeah. Coming into the season, doesn't have real.
Let me just off my mic now.
Doesn't have real high hopes for the Dallas Mavericks. Would you, sir? He didn't have high hopes. He was just going along for the ride. So what have you made of the ride so far?
Man, they surprised me. They shocked me. That center we got, like, obviously last year, I knew, like, one of our biggest problems was defense and rebounding.
For sure.
We couldn't rebound anyone. We could play against people in high school. What?
Since when did he become our player?
What do you mean? I hate this propaganda you guys have against me. You know I'm a Kyrie fan. I'm wherever he's at. Like, bro. Okay, so Luka's been playing out of his mind. And I feel like we say that every year, which just makes me laugh when ISU has, like, haters out there and they wear champion hoodies and shit. I don't know what they're doing. But Kyrie, has, in my opinion, is still playing, like, it's almost like a stepbrother to Clay at this point. So I don't really know what's going on. I hope he's not fully washed.
You know what's funny? Just before we started recording, you know the basketball stuff, too simple. His brother was shooting on it and missing, and he was like, "You're really Clay Thompson."
So I think Kyrie either needs to show me that he's not washed, or I'm just going to believe the guy is washed. He's my favorite player, but
our favorite players well, right, get no, washed. Sure. He's not and playing well.
He's not playing well. I'm watching the game against Bucks right now. Luka is Luka. Everybody. And you have Kyrie.
That's the title. Everybody is everybody.
But you have Kyrie just being passive, and when he's not passive, he's just breaking the entire.
You haven't shouted out one person though.
Grant Williams.
D-Lively. That's my guy, man.
D-Lively is a revelation. Like
that's my guy, man.
The fact that they didn't trade that pick and they got D-Lively, I'm so happy. Like D-Lively is balling out. He's top five among the rookies this year. Easily.
For sure.
That's the difference. Someone that can rebound and block some shots. And I'm really, I still think we're overachieving right now. We're definitely going to slide down because as long as Kyrie does not wake up, Luka cannot carry this entire season. So
no championship aspirations. You're just
absolutely not. But if Kyrie shows me something, then I reserve the right to change my mind about championship aspirations.
Okay, I shadow everything you say. I 1,000% agree. So we'll just talk about two teams quickly before we go into the disgrace of the century. We'll talk about the Thunder and the Kings. OKC, it's pretty much doing what we thought that we were going to do coming into the season. I think it's high time we say Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is a superstar. He's no longer a budding superstar. He is a superstar. Who was it that didn't buy into the Kings this season? Was it you?
Me. That's me. That's me, cuz.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Do you still believe your hype?
Obviously, they are proving me wrong. But when I just look at the landscape of teams I expect to eventually go into the playoffs, I just see them as the team that would have to be kicked out. Because I'm putting OKC above them, really. Yeah. I'm a big Shai fan. Like, Shai is my...
Oh, just outside of side note, the Chet Wemby game was very disappointing, man.
There was, I don't know if you guys remember this game where I can't remember what. So on defense, Shai clowned this. I believe it was against either Pistons or Clippers. Either he clowned Marcus Morris, is that what I remember? He clowned them on defense. And then hit the game winner after, and then dance
after
the one where he's like doing the whole that game. From that game on, I was always like, "Yeah, that this guy,
this brother's real.
He's not fake. Every other Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is a counterfeit because that guy is."
I promise you, there's no other one out there.
I'm telling.
Who told you go to Lucky? You'll see like four.
Unhinged. But
before Lucky, I feel like it's all them. Shout out to my evil brothers. I feel like it's all them evil parents that would just be throwing anything about
this. Okay, we're not gonna do this, Josie. I love my evil brothers and sisters.
I love them too. I love them, but I'm saying they're the ones with the different names.
I will not engage in this with you.
Completely unhinged.
And you know what? Let's even just forget everything and move on to the New Orleans Pelicans. Zion Williams here. I'm just trying to buy in, man. I'm just trying to buy in.
Yo, that was bad. That was bad.
Yeah, that was that didn't look so great, man. That did not look great. And
I don't think Brandon can coexist.
Do you know what I think? Zion is in no place to speak the way he's speaking right now. That team has done everything they can to build a team around him, to support him, give him his money, even when he hadn't played up to 100 NBA games for them. The Pelicans have done, literally, we always talk about how franchises shank players, in quote. The Pelicans have done everything they can to make Zion Williamson the superstar he's supposed to be. And all he has done is let them down. So you're in no place to sit down there and say, I'm just trying to, but shut up, man. Play some defense, score the basketball, and rebound. Thank you.
All I would say is Zion is very greedy. Number one. Number two, he's supposed to be doing this for Niklaus.
What are you talking about?
Niklaus is from New Orleans. He's from New Orleans.
From the original. I'm so sorry about that, man. This guy just...
But, on a serious note, he's a very greedy, greedy human being. You can very...
Are you attacking the man's character?
No, listen, let me finish. You can see all the good things New Orleans are doing for him. But listen, he's going to the mills to go and meet Mariah. Why? And now that has led to him.
For the viewing audience, can you please explain who that lady is?
To the mills to meet Mariah. What is wrong with you, man? Do not explain who that is, and you are wrong for asking him to explain who that is.
This is like Shaka Chuck.
What is you know what? I need to get me a whole new cast, man. This is working out.
But you know, that's where his money is going to. And obviously, as a man, when all your money is going places,
end it. I don't want to hear what you're saying.
He's stressed.
End it.
Oh, he's stressed.
I will disconnect your mic. End it.
Won't you be stressed?
End it. I'm so done, man. Let's just move on.
No, I have a basketball angle.
No, I don't believe you.
I'm serious. I have a basketball angle. I don't think he and Brandon can coexist. Because when I look at what Brandon said on Team USA, Brandon wants to always be the guy. And when Ant was showing out on Team USA, Brandon sulked and they eventually started benching him. They put in the New York Knicks guy. And
Josh Hart?
Yeah, Josh Hart. And on this team, I can see Brandon and Zion play well together. Even their
That's
games
the thing, don't... though, I don't think so. Like, last year, when Zion was playing, B.I. was fit, Grand Theft Alvarado was fit. CJ was fit. Shout out CJ, by the way. Get well soon.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Valanciunas was playing. They genuinely looked like a team that could make the NBA finals. They did. Last season.
What's funny is the 2K simulation when that season started predicted that they would win the championship.
They really look like they could go
and
to
the NBA. And 2K has never been wrong.
So I don't necessarily agree with the point that him and Zion can't coexist. I just think Zion is just being a greedy animal right now, and I don't get it, honestly speaking. Like, I don't mean to attack the man's character.
You called him an animal.
And you called him greedy because he went to see, went to the meals.
Honestly, I don't mean to attack.
Is it because he went to the meals?
Oh my god, I will break somebody's head. I don't mean to attack his character.
It's to the flower meals he went to. That's what I'm talking about. I don't know what.
Okay,
he's talking about,
so. Okay, we get you, bro.
I would honestly turn off your mic. I don't mean to attack his character. I just think he really hasn't done enough to the for what the Pelicans have done for him. He hasn't repaid whatever faith they've shown in him enough for him to, you know, go to the press and start complaining about he's trying to buy into the process, whatever they are. Shut up, man. Play some basketball.
My own BC, my own is, how would he buy in if he does not have money?
So let's move on.
Let's
to
move
the
on.
Los Angeles Clippers.
Dubai.
The... Yeah, very
unbelievable. Continue.
Sorry.
Let's move on to the Los Angeles Clippers. They made the worst mistake of their lives and traded for him. And they traded for James Harden.
Why are you guys blocking me in this podcast?
What the damn hell have you made of the Clippers so far? Because if I start, I will finish today.
You know what? Start.
Oh.
I double dare you. Start.
First of all. Okay. First of all.
I beg. Tosin, off your mind.
Did you see when they passed the ball to Harden? And he waited for the defender so he could step back and shoot. Is that a sick person? But he said, oh, I got you. I got you. And then he closed it and he stepped. Oh, my God. And then, you know, I just want to shout out Kawhi Leonard.
Uh-oh.
Are you going to play like a superstar this season? Or are you just going to keep injuring yourself up and down?
Hmm.
Are you going to play like a superstar? Paul George, are you going to have halves where you actually play basketball instead of going 0-10 with 0 points? James Harden, do you plan on playing defense at any point this season? Jerron Lue, are you going to figure out your rotations? Steve Ballmer, are you now foolish to see that? Are you now smart enough to see that trading for James Harden was the dumbest decision you made? This team was settling down in every single aspect, defensively, offensively. They started the season so well. Kawhi was hooping, PG was hooping, Russell was hooping, Norman Powell was hooping. Everybody had bought into their roles, and you decide to trade for James Harden, who hasn't played a good basketball game since 2020. Yeah, are you being for real right
there's
now?
A seismic activity.
And now you're
guys.
3-8, and everybody's like, oh my god, James Harden hit the game winner against the Houston Rockets. So damn what, man? Who cares? Who cares? You've had a 6-game sample size, and you showed that there's, I don't know whether the stat is true, but there was this line I saw on Twitter of like PG on the floor with Harden, Kawhi on the floor with Harden, Russ on the floor with Harden, and all of them on the floor without Harden. They were all negatives with Harden on and positives with Harden off the floor. So clearly the problem is one person. I move on. I digress. You guys can have the floor.
Well, guys, there's been a seismic activity in the house where we're still recovering. We will hit you guys back in a minute.
Dustin, the floor is yours, man.
Okay. I don't believe in kicking a man when he's down. But today he did.
Mama said,
"Psych."
Yo, let me tell you something. First off, before I even get into James Harden, a team that can successfully see what Lakers did with Westbrook, see that he's a calamity when he's that version of himself, and now Clippers have successfully turned Westbrook into that version of himself. That is the biggest mistake ever.
No. Honestly, I need you to say it again in case some people at home didn't hear what you said. Please repeat yourself.
You've turned Westbrook into the Lakers Westbrook. You had a plan.
How far you managed to convert him from that?
It's incredible. You saw the mistake these guys did and you said, you know what? Let me repeat that mistake. It takes skill to do that. So, now that I'm done with Westbrook, I want to also commend him for saying he will start off the bench because he is really a team first guy. He really wants that team to do well, and he's been the bigger person, and you know, he's taking on that role. So kudos to him. The coach has shown me something. Like, the coach is not, I'm not sure anymore. Like, why are you playing your small ball against Mavs? Did you see that game?
Against the Denver. I thought you were going to talk about Denver.
If not that, they actually they played pretty well against Denver. But if not that we're going to get a copyright infringement, I would have put that video of Kendrick Perkins showing what Luka does to the Clippers. Did you guys see?
Yeah, get your belt out.
Yeah. I'm wearing shorts. I
feel like when you're playing against a big team, you shouldn't play small ball, especially when those guys are cooking you. It was when you left Westbrook, that Norman Powell, all those short guys, when he left them with Tucker. Tucker has never done anything on the basketball court. I don't know what he did. Like, he has never done anything. All he does is tap people up, and that's it. But shout out to Tucker, dude. But James Harden, I'm going to make it brief because I spend every episode going in on you. James Harden is... He shows me that he can still ball. Like, that guy, truthfully, put him on ISO. He's showing that he can still make tough baskets. He can still get by people, all of that. But if you get into it fundamentally, this guy does not move without the ball. He makes everyone. It's not like these guys, they like to work on offense. He makes them work on offense. Because when you slow down the ball and you're just swinging like a pendulum, everybody gonna be watching. They have no choice. So he's the problem why they work on offense, which is a big problem for them. Kawhi didn't look like the Kawhi we expect him to be. Last game he turned off, which is good, but is it sustainable? I don't know. Paul George, if Paul George is on fire, I don't know what that means. Because when Paul George is on fire, he can still Reggie the ball. Like, I don't know who Paul George is. Like, he can score 35.
He has been the most consistent out of every single one of them. But he's just an unlucky person, I guess.
Yeah.
Honestly, like, I'm so angry with the Clippers front office because this is on them. Like, Ty Lue literally vouched for Westbrook. And they said, like, you know what, let me go ahead and get a James Harden. Now look at what you've done. For me, do you have anything to say before we move
on?
Yes, winners and losers.
Wait.
I'm sorry. Just one last thing. The guy they didn't want to trade for Harden, Terrence Mann. They are wasting his talent. So why didn't you trade him if you're going to be wasting him? But go ahead.
Bro, I'm just sick and tired of the whole... That organization is actually cursed, man.
The reason why the Clippers were as successful as they were in 2021 was because they were a pace and space team, right? I believe the reason why Ty Lue was vouching for Westbrook was because if Westbrook gets that rebound, you have Kawhi and PG running down that wing. He's going to push that pace. And I think that's what they were working on from last season into the season. And you could clearly see that was the kind of system that they were trying to run. Which is why they had like a mobile big, like a Zubac, a Plumlee, you know, for that extra, obviously that extra defensive anchor and vertical threats. So like, you know, for the lobs and everything, you know, obviously is why they kept
offensive rebound.
Yeah, an offensive rebound. But with James Harden, there is no pace and there is no space. Why? Because when he stops the ball, the defenders stop moving and they clog up the space. Your teammates are supposed to be running into that space. Because if you watch the old Clippers, the reason why they were more successful is because they were making Iverson cuts for Paul George. They would run a little triangle play on the wing for Kawhi to make him work in the mid range, or go all the way to the rim.
Running pin downs for Kawhi, running hammer actions for PG,
and you know, have Westbrook just run the offense, you know, and you know Westbrook is always going to crash the boards. But with James Harden, he's going to suck out all that energy. He's going to, and I'm not trying to, he's not the right fit for this team. Absolutely. That is absolutely not the right team.
The blind could see before they made the trade. That's what's pissing me off.
Shout out to the blind.
Everybody could see before they made the trade that Harden was not the right fit for this, fit for this team.
And already they have three ball dominant players. with Ty Lue, why Ty Lue was so successful with these guys was because, like, he, like, the, being the good coach that he is, he was making, he was running plays, was running triangle plays for Kawhi, at least giving them that, that sense of, like, I would get the ball at some point.
Putting them in their spots where they're going to be most effective.
Effective. But with James Harden now, are you going to move with Westbrook on the fly? Are you going to move Westbrook to the shooting guard position?
Are you going to tell James Harden to run and set a pick for Kawhi in terms of running a pin down action? Because
Harden has never been used to that kind of team. And obviously, the reason why, obviously, he thought, oh, like, he would be successful in other places was because, oh, he would play off ball.
Honestly, or, he's not doing all that. I think Philly was the only place Harden could have actually had a decent season this season.
Facts.
I mean, I think I figured it out. Remember the when they made the trade and I came on the episode and I said they will have this honeymoon stage like always. Mm. I think he listened and he's trying to use reverse psychology. So if I start bad, it can only get better. You get what I'm saying? So.
Let's see, man. Well, so far, I am not happy with the Clippers front office. I'm not happy with James Harden. I'm not happy with Kawhi Leonard. I'm not happy with Paul George.
Do you know what I feel? And call me crazy. I feel both Westbrook and Harden should come off the bench.
How's that going to work?
That's going to be bad.
How's that going to work? Because you're now putting them on the floor at the same time.
Yeah. Well, when they were on the floor at the same time during that year, they were playing nice.
Yeah, but James Harden was the best player in the league probably at that point in time.
And Westbrook was still a little bit Westbrook. Like, you can't have them right now on the floor at the same time.
And Russell's mid-range pull-up was way more automatic back then. Right now, bro, you see, if you guys notice, I didn't call out Russell Westbrook because I personally don't think he's done anything wrong in this whole situation.
He has been a model citizen. Exactly. He hasn't. Like, there are some games. The reason why they're close is because of his activity. He's the one breaking up the passes. He's the one grabbing the offensive rebound. He's the one grabbing the rebound and pushing
all
the pace.
All that, and Harden gets to finish the game over him.
Yeah, and I remember seeing that whole Ty Lue calling Westbrook off and then putting Harden, and you see Westbrook's face and everything. Kudos to Westbrook, honestly. Because if it was me, I'll say, who?
Honestly, there's nothing else to be said about the Clippers. Let's just, if there's nothing else you guys want to do, let's just go to our biggest winners and losers of the week.
Let's just go winners. We started off in a good mood. Let's go losers. We started off in a good mood. Let's finish with a good mood.
Aside the obvious Clippers, you know who my biggest loser of the week is. Actually, my biggest loser.
Obviously, there's another obvious clown. we just talked about him now before we segue to the Wolves.
Yeah.
Draymond?
Yeah, no.
Of course not.
How is he not a loser?
No, that's not my biggest loser of the week. My biggest loser is an organization and certain individuals.
Enlighten us.
Hey! Yo! They were up by like 12 with like 7 minutes to go and they scored only 1 point.
Now, Kyle Kuzma is in hell, man. I feel so bad for Buddy. Yesterday, Ruby Rose put up to the DC game and everybody was like, Poole going to drop 30. That match up 8 points, man.
Obviously.
Bro, I think we found a new leader of the No Future organization.
No, it's 1,000%.
There has been no hope for them since John Wall, and there will be no hope for them past John Wall. It is finished.
Where?
Biggest loser for you.
Biggest loser, obviously, people will say Draymond, Clay. My initial thought was to go Clay because he started the whole fracas and they tried to play innocent at the end.
Yeah, and he's been missing threes up and down.
Yeah, so I was going to say Clay, but no. My biggest loser of the week is one Ujiri.
I like that.
Ujiri.
That's a good pick.
Ujiti Ujiri?
Ujiti Ori?
What do you mean, Ujiti Ujiri? Is he a
Koti G?
Is he a thief?
In fact, Onsu.
He has not woken up.
Yeah,
but anybody that has not Jiri, the person is dead, bro. So what are you saying?
Or the person was never awake.
Or he's a dead man walking.
Yeah, I like that shot. I like that shot. Tosin, what about you? Biggest loser?
Mine is Golden State Warriors. I feel bad for that organization because they're in a position where they don't know how to move forward. They have these cornerstones that two out of three of them already asked, but they can't really move forward. They can't really move forward from them because it's an awkward
for them. Well.
Yeah, it's an awkward situation. They're legends. They're meant to retire there. They probably have plans to retire there. So it's difficult for them to move on, and they can't clearly see their ass. So it's a problem.
Okay, I hear that. I to a large extent agree with you. Biggest winners of the week. Oh, you want me to go first?
Yeah, go first.
I wanted to say the Boston Celtics. Just because, you know, to be able to beat Philly without two of your important players is pretty... But nah, I'll go the Houston Rockets. They haven't necessarily had a great week. I'm just thinking of from the time we recorded last till now, I would say their story has been the most inspiring for me. So the Houston Rockets are my biggest winners of the week.
And now for my biggest winner of the week. Honestly, nobody has done anything worth, you know,
winning.
Yeah, like everybody has been moving crazy because of 500K. So, so I want to say if I had to say a biggest win, someone that stood out for me,
Jimmy.
Yeah, I mean it would have to be not Jimmy. I want to say Bam, because Loki is playing like a contender for DPOY.
There's a reason I have him winning DPOY every year.
Like, and honestly, it's not even about the blocks. You get what I'm saying?
It's never been about just the blocks
or the steals. It's the all-around switching, defending on the perimeter, and he will still give you 20-20-10 on the day. So you gotta
give you a steal or two on his day as well.
Yeah, so you gotta give him credit where credit is due. So I just want to I feel like my winner is just a shout out.
Oh, that's
fair. Yeah.
Justin, what about you?
This might come as a shock to you guys.
It's James Harden. I just know it's James.
But my biggest winner is me.
Is you?
Is me.
Yeah, I'm not sure if you are a narcissist.
Ladies and gentlemen, for the first time in the show.
No, let me tell you why it's me. Because look at the landscape of the league. Where have I been wrong? I talked about Bradley Beal. That guy, every day his back is hurting.
How?
I'm not answering that question. Please move on.
How?
No. Two, Ben Simmons is at home again.
Yeah, he has nerve issues, bro. That one might be serious. Now. Come on.
James Harden is James Harden, which is ass.
Please don't mention his name. Honestly, like, he infuriates me.
You feel what I'm saying? So I just feel I'm the biggest winner. That's it.
You know what? That's fair. Narcissist, but fair.
Okay, I'll take
egotistic,
it.
But fair.
I'll take it.
Okay, so we have now come to the end of another episode of the Corecast. My apologies for my incessant coughing and clearing my throat.
Yeah, apologies indeed.
And everything. Hopefully by next week I'll be better.
This week is not voice of reason, it's the voice of cold.
Voice of flu.
Voice of flu.
He had this flu game. Funny.
You're coming down for bad. No
he had this flu game.
Yeah, man. This is my flu game.
Shout out to all the people with flu, Sha.
Shout out to the flu.
You guys are the real ones, innit?
Apologies for my rant as well. James Harden and the Clippers just had me.
He caused a seismic activity in the
Bro,
house.
Bro, can you let it go?
I'm just saying, like, lights were falling. You know, I'm just saying.
Yeah, as usual, I've been the voice of reason. Beside me have been Super Strikers.
What am I to you? A matato?
Shakes. And on the other side has been our one and only cheerleader, CGIST. Thank you. Oh, and our narcissist at
Egotistic Maniac.
Thank you guys for this saluting. If you can't see, just can't see the Chiefs.
Be like us. We are champions. You guys,
we're all wearing hats today.
Bro. Yeah, we are champions.
Yeah. Thank you for listening.
Did the Ledong win the champions?
Oh my God. Can you shut up? Thank you for tuning in. Apologies for Femi's nonsense throughout the show as well.
What did I do?
He's going to the mills to meet Mariah. Thank you guys. Thank you for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed the episode.
You know, understand. I was saying flower.
We hope you enjoyed the episode as much as we enjoyed recording it. We'll see you in the next episode. Have a lovely day. Apologies for all the misbehaviors. Adios, amigos.
Adios, fam.
It's a Slam Time production.